Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Locked On Broncos. Tonight's episode is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Head over there, play, and win now. So, tonight, I'm joined on Locked On Broncos with Kevin Massari over at Locked On Bills, and we're going to cover this weekend's big matchup between the Denver Broncos and the Buffalo Bills, two teams that have gritty and talented defenses and some offenses that are flourishing a little bit. Obviously, here early on in the season, you've got a dynamic weapon in Tyrod Taylor and LeSean McCoy with some receiving threats in Jordan Matthews, Zay Jones, obviously tight end Charles Clay as well, matching up against his Denver Broncos defense and Von Miller in the no-fly zone. Kevin Massari joins me right now for Locked On Broncos. I'm joined today by Kevin Massari over at Locked On Bills, and we're going to break down the matchup this upcoming weekend where we see Tyrod Taylor taking on Von Miller and the Denver Broncos this weekend. CBS, early kickoff, Eastern time, big game. Kevin, how do you feel about it?
I feel great, and thanks for having me on. And it's always a pleasure to be here on these crossover shows and really be a part of this. And, you know, it's a very interesting game here in Buffalo. It's going to be, I believe, the hottest game in 10 years that the Bills have played in. It's supposed to be 89 and sunny, which, quite frankly, you know, in Western New York, it's fall's the new summer here. So that's really hot. Our players aren't generally used to this kind of heat and weather, and I definitely think it helps Denver come here and not have to play in 30 and 14 degree wind chill with 3 to 4 feet of snow.
You know, I actually just said this on the preview show. You know, I mentioned that we were going to be doing the crossover show on a couple episodes ago. And one thing I was saying I was very grateful for is the fact that I'm glad this game isn't in December for the Denver Broncos, because that is always a tough place to play, especially in Buffalo when the snow is coming down and you have the cold wind. And sometimes the wind is blowing sideways, so you have blizzard-like conditions. I've seen that far too often with some Buffalo Bills games. I'm just thinking we get it early on in the season, like I'm sure a lot of teams are very happy for as well, that they get to avoid going to Denver, you know, in December, and they get to come here, obviously, in September and October. So I think it's a very good situation for both teams. If the weather's going to be 89 degrees, that's absolutely phenomenal, which is definitely an upgrade from what we saw last week against the Dallas Cowboys, where we had a weather delay, lightning, you know, you had a lightning issue, obviously, is that. And then obviously the temperature was a little chilly, 72 and about some wind and some rain. So I think the conditions play out pretty nicely, especially for a beautiful New York afternoon.
Yeah, they sure do. And it's definitely it's going to be a gorgeous day for football. The stadium's actually doing discounted water, so how nice of you to offer our fans that here in Buffalo. But it's going to be a really, really great weather conditions. Western New York has some of the best weather in the fall that's offered out there. I've been to many different stadiums, and we do present that and offer that. And it's going to be a great game. And, you know, kind of gets me into a little bit of, I did read recently that Von Miller came out and said that, you know, he appreciates the Bills fans for, you know, being one of the wildest fan bases in the NFL. So I don't know, maybe you could help by giving our guests a little bit of insight from that.
Well, absolutely. You know, Von Miller, he's absolutely changed over the last several years as a player. You know, when he first came into the NFL as a rookie, he was one of the most dominant rookies. You know, he took up second in defensive player of the year voting, I believe his rookie season or his sophomore season, and he kind of found himself getting into a little bit of trouble with, you know, off the field issues and some drug stuff. But now he is completely evolutionized. I think a lot of it had to do with Peyton Manning and DeMar Marcus Ware's leadership and mentorship by pretty much wrapping their arm around him and saying, look, we're going to be tough on you, but you're going to appreciate it in the end. And now that DeMarcus Ware and Peyton Manning are gone, I look at Von Miller. He's now a captain this year. He's completely 360. And I think he had probably one of the best years of any NFL player's, you know, career. The year they won Super Bowl 50, he went on and, you know, obviously Super Bowl MVP against the Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton. And now he's the stable guy. He's the franchise player for the Denver Broncos organization. And one of the things that you'll never hear from Von Miller is any kind of trash talk towards anybody. He's very humble and he always shows respect. And I think in the NFL, he has this mentality like respect all, fear none. And I think that's how every NFL player should be. But absolutely, Von Miller, he's played against Buffalo before and they're tough. And I remember specifically the Denver Broncos, I believe it was 5 or 6 years ago, went down to Buffalo. I think it was either Tim Tebow or it was Kyle Orton at quarterback. And it didn't end well for the Denver Broncos. It ended up being like 45-10 in favor of the Bills. And I think Von Miller remembers that because it was loud, it was cold, and the fans in that stadium get wild. And they definitely have a loud fan base, especially with a huge population in New York. So Von Miller definitely gives a lot of praise to his opponents as well. I'm looking forward to it. And Von Miller's got to, you know, make work this week. He's got to find a way to get to Tyrod Taylor, who's a multi-dynamic quarterback. So, you know, what do you think with the Buffalo Bills have to do this week? Obviously, with the tackles have to do this week in order to stop Von Miller, or at least limit him.
Yeah, we're going to need to use a little tight end play here. And there's no doubt about it that they're ready for it. And we're used to having to keep a tight end just due to the fact that we don't go, we don't go like 4-by personnel often. So you're going to have two tight end formations, you know, pretty frequently, as you guys should know. That's a Rick Dennison specialty. So he'll be keeping in our backup tight end, Nick O'Leary, who's a fairly good blocker, and Charles Clay, who usually ranks top 5 PFF rankings in,
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, BOOM.
Run and pass block. He will be there as well to help out our, you know, struggling tackle play. It is looking good on the news front for Cordy Glenn, our all-pro left tackle, who should be playing this week. You never really know. He hasn't looked up to his normal self, so we'll see what happens there. But, you know, on the right side, we have Jordan Mills, who, you know, plays on and off all season. And he's hit and miss. Sometimes he'll get the best of him. He's a very good run blocker, but he's just struggles in pass protection. So that's definitely a matchup we're going to, and you're going to absolutely see someone in blocking. That's not going to be different from any of our normal game plans in this case. It's interesting because we have a lot of history together, going back to Von Miller's draft year where, you know, we were basically waiting for you guys to make your selection because we were right after you. And we were pretty much ready to submit. And all the rumblings here were, you know, Von Miller was the selection here. And Bills fans were actually pretty mixed on it because we had just missed on Aaron Maben. And we were worried that he might be a similar mold to that, a pass rush specialist, a little undersized. And, you know, we were a little bit worried about that. And a lot of Bills fans wanted Marcell Dareus there and ended up getting him. But we had to wait for you guys to pick between Dareus and Von Miller, and really turns out Von Miller to me is obviously at this point the better player and probably will be. So it's a little cool history there. And then you had Cam Newton was the first pick, obviously, in that draft. So that adds a little bit of cool history. And, you know, after those, you had A.J. Green and Patrick Peterson. So quite the draft there.
Real quick, before we get back to covering the Broncos and the Bills matchup, I want to take the time to tell you guys about something that really has been useful for me in the last couple weeks with the NFL season starting back up. Usually each week, you know, if I'm down at the sports bar and the teams are playing, you always have that one person in it. It's always saying, how much you want to bet? How much money you want to put up on this game? Well, come to find out, a lot of people aren't good on the word and they usually don't come through and pay when you win the bet. So I'm a man of my word. So that's why I go to mybookie.ag. Now let me tell you about mybookie.ag. It's an online sports book and there are a lot of them out of there, but mybookie.ag is the only one that gets my stamp of approval. And I wouldn't tell you guys about it if it didn't mean something to me. By personally using it, it's honestly been one of the best fantasy outlet sports books that I use outside of DraftKings and FanDuel, where I always thought that there was a lot of shady insider trading going on with FanDuel and DraftKings. I don't have that issue or that trust issue going on with MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag has been in the business for years, and their reputation is absolutely phenomenal. And they do 100% cash bonuses. So off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And right now, if you go over to MyBookie.ag to place your bet, use promo code LOCKEDON right now to get up to a 100% deposit bonus. That means if you match and you donate and you sign up with $1,000, they will give you $1,000 back just for signing up. And right there. So go on there, play now, win money, and receive your payout within 48 hours. No more waiting a whole week from FanDuel or DraftKings to get your payout. Get it right away with MyBookie.ag. You know, people tend to really forget how talented that draft class really was. You had, obviously, Von Miller, you know, Marcel Darius, and then you had Cam Newton. A lot of these prolific guys that, when we look across the board, they are premier names for their teams in the NFL today, which, you know, I look back at that, I haven't seen a class since 2011 that really was as premier and impactful as this class that we have currently. And so hats off to, obviously, Marcel Darius. I know he's had some ups and downs, obviously, in his career at Buffalo, you know, and obviously he's still trying to get healthy with that ankle injury. So, you know, when I look at the injury report for both teams, it looks like more so most of the teams are fairly healthy. Obviously, you know, guys that are banged up or nicked up a little bit. Obviously, Wednesday for most guys, they probably didn't participate. Like Lorenzo Alexander, they rested him a little bit. He was a full go today in practice. Marcel Darius has missed 2 days in a row of practice with that ankle injury. Cordy Glenn, like you said, foot and ankle, did not participate on Wednesday, was limited today, as well as Shaq Lawson. And then LeSean McCoy, obviously with a wrist, didn't participate on Wednesday, but was a full go today, as well as Charles Clay with a knee. Matt Milano, a linebacker with a hamstring, he was a full go. And most of these guys right now, they don't really have a game status out yet. That'll come out tomorrow. But for the most part, it appears that most of the key guys for this game for the Denver Broncos and the Buffalo Bills will be healthy. You know, obviously, one thing within 3 weeks of the regular season, you got to hope that you don't have guys that are on the injury report consistently, especially this early on as a sign for concern. So that might be a good news, obviously. Which key player that is injured for the Buffalo Bills might have the biggest impact if he can't go?
Yeah, so our actually, believe it or not, this Buffalo team, and this is cause for hope in Buffalo here, is fairly healthy. Generally, at this point, even week two, week three, week four, the Bills have been known to have plenty of guys on IR. I mean, missing some key players, notably Sammy Watkins, others that wouldn't be dressed at this point and really killing this team. Right now, they're fairly healthy. Cordy Glenn's been the only one that's been in and out of the lineup a little bit. And now adding Marcel Darius, who is a cause for concern, you know, after his $100 million contract. Got into a little drug problem, and you know, now at this point is facing his hip and ankle that he's been fighting through for the early portion of the season. He would definitely be the one that's going to cause the most problems by not playing. Everyone else is fairly healthy and expected to play. So if Marcel doesn't get out there tomorrow, which no one really knows if he is, that's going to be a problem. We really heavily rely on him to cause pressure, to take on the double teams and allow for our defensive ends to run free like they did last weekend against Cam Newton. So we really expect him to play a certain role here, especially with Sean McDermott's defense. And sometimes, you know, Bills fans want to see him break through and get his normal 8-9 sacks a year that he generally can get. But right now he is taking up a lot of taking that double gaps and allowing Jerry Hughes and Shaq Lawson to do eat and feast on the outside. So without him and his backup's actually out still with a pretty bad concussion in Worthy, who's actually played very well here in Buffalo for his, you know, this is his second season here, and he's been a great backup defensive tackle, great depth player. He's actually out with a pretty severe concussion. So that's allowing us to probably go to our fourth guy, but we're pretty deep on the defensive line. We also have Lorenzo Alexander, who can, you know, play a little bit of that 4-3 outside, 4-3 defensive end when you kick in Shaq Lawson. So there is some flexibility there on our defensive line and our front seven, which is easily the best portion of this Buffalo Bills team.
You know, when I had the opportunity to sit in on head coach Sean McDermott's conference call this week when he met with media members over here in Denver, and a lot of it he said, you know, obviously going up against Cam Newton and those guys, it was surely a test for such, you know, you guys have a young defense, but your defense held their own pretty much against some very talented weapons. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey, Cam Newton, Kelvin Benjamin, some speedy wideouts, Greg Olsen before he broke his foot. So going forward, obviously, you know, Sean McDermott said that it'll be a great test. obviously, to go up against, you know, Trevor Siemian, the Denver Broncos offense, which looks revamped, and he looked forward to, you know, really the challenge that presents itself with C.J. Anderson and Jamaal Charles in the run game. And when I look at this matchup on paper between the offense of the Denver Broncos and the defense between the Buffalo Bills, this has the recipe to be a very entertaining game. I think we're going to see some smash-mouth defense. Now, it's just a question of who can make explosive plays on the offensive side of the ball this week. And a lot of that, I think, predicates off of the Denver Broncos defensive backs, which we saw have a better week against the Dallas Cowboys than they did opening week, obviously, against the Los Angeles Chargers. They had several busted coverages. I think that was some, you know, game one jitters. They looked absolutely complete against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the question is for the Denver Broncos, some injuries, two injuries that I think may play an impact. Now, I was very surprised today when I read that tackle Garrett Bowles was practicing today, and he was carted off the field on Sunday against the Cowboys with what they thought at first was a torn Achilles, but ended up being a very deep bone bruise and kind of a contusion on the inside of his ankle. So we expected him to be out for a couple of weeks, but then today, you know, notifications went across the board that he was limited in practice. He was out there in drills, and so to me that's very surprising. I don't know if Denver's going to play him this weekend, because when you look at it, you have to play it safe with obviously a rookie tackle. You know, if he's not fully able to go, especially with an ankle where you have to step and you have to block inside, outside with pass rushers and obviously blitzing safeties, you have to be able to maintain, you know, obviously your stance at the line of scrimmage. So I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Garrett Bowles play this weekend, and I can imagine we might even see Alan Barber step out there at tackle while they move Max Garcia back to guard until Garrett Bowles gets back. So, and then Bradley Roby was seen walking around with a walking boot. He was limited in practice today, but head coach Vance Joseph said he expects him to be a full go. So the Denver Broncos, three defensive backs or three corners, I expect we're probably going to see a lot more of a nickel package this week like we did last week against Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys. Watching the Dallas Cowboys-Denver Broncos games, what kind of keys did you get that you think the Denver Broncos and the Buffalo Bills might have to take advantage of with the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, they're going to need to take care of your tackle play on offense. So they're going to need to, you know, our strongest, once again, our strongest portion of the Buffalo Bills team would be the defensive ends. So we're going to, if Garrett Bowles is going to have to sit, which is miraculous, he was able to practice today. I saw a tweet going around with him doing a little bit of his, little bit of warm-ups, and he did look a little slow. So you're right. I wouldn't really press it with him if I was Vance Joseph, but we'll see, I guess. Anyways, we're going to have to take care of that tackle play, and that's going to be one place. We're very strong in early portions of the season, show that the Denver Broncos might be a little vulnerable with Manelik Watson and, you know, whoever you guys kick out there. And I think you said Barber would be your fill-in there. So that's definitely one place with Shaq Lawson, Jerry Hughes, Lorenzo Alexander, and our former Denver Bronco Eddie Yarbrough, who's been a great backup, a third defensive end for us here. So we're going to need to take advantage of those matchups on the tackle spot, and that's going to be really disrupt your pass game. That's really where the one place where I can see the Bills kind of doing some damage here in this game.
You know, I was really surprised this preseason after, unfortunately, the Denver Broncos let Eddie Yarbrough go.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO has been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
You know, Camp Body out of the University of Wyoming. And then in the preseason game, I see Eddie Yarbrough dominate. And you just, you know, you think back, you're like, man, what is the reason? Why do we let this guy go if he's out here doing it? You know, I think a lot of it is depth. And the Denver Broncos ran out of depth early on, I think, after the Yarbrough move. So that's a good move for the Buffalo Bills, picking him up. He's a very solid player, and he's a little more versatile than most people give him credit for. So one thing I did notice that the Buffalo Bills defense has, and that's depth. And I think that's a good thing. You know, I was watching the game last week against the Panthers. You know, it was a short game, obviously, in terms of scoring. And I was watching the Bills and Tyrod Taylor, LeSean McCoy drive down the field. Obviously, Carolina's playing some prevent, but you found yourselves in a 4th-and-11 play, and the wide receiver dropped it. And I felt really bad at that point. My heart kind of sank, because at that point, you know, I'm still looking at Carolina as a nemesis because we played them in the Super Bowl. So I wanted the Bills to come out on top in that game. That is a game where I felt like you saw a lot of good things out of the Buffalo Bills, despite that drop. You saw the ability. You saw what I think most NFL teams want, and that's fight. And as John Elway describes it, he wants the Denver Broncos to have this kicking and screaming kind of mentality that if they're down, they're going to kick and scream, and they're going to make it a living hell for any team that they're going against. So that's one thing I really liked is the fight that the Buffalo Bills had. And obviously, I think when you look at Tyrod Taylor, the Denver Broncos have their hands full this weekend, you know, in terms of their defensive ends. They have to keep contained against a guy like Tyrod Taylor, and you have to keep contained. You can't have your defensive ends get sucked in, especially if you're running the zone read with Tyrod Taylor, LeSean McCoy is one of the most speedy tailbacks. I think he's one of the most all-around complete backs, and the Denver Broncos really have to key in on him. So I would anticipate that, you know, Joe Woods is going to go with more of a nickel package like we saw against the Cowboys, because most teams have tried to isolate a running back one-on-one in man coverage with inside linebacker Todd Davis. So we didn't see much of Todd Davis last week. We saw more of Will Parks and obviously Justin Simmons and Bradley Roby inside of a nickel kind of package. So I anticipate we're going to see the same exact thing going forward. You know, when the Buffalo Bills traded Sammy Watkins over the offseason, I was wondering who are the guys that are going to step up on offense and be a weapon. Who at wide receiver so far this season has stepped up, you know, ever since Watkins has been gone?
Yeah, and here in Buffalo, it's the same question we asked ourselves as, you know, coverage guys and guys who cover this team in-depthly and fans. Like, who's gonna really take the reins and be that guy for Tyrod Taylor? And a couple of names to look out for as they progress each week would be Jordan Matthews. We made the trade early on to acquire Jordan Matthews for Ronald Darby, and we also got a third-round pick back. And in my opinion, the Bills did really well in that trade to acquire a guy that actually had more production than Sammy Watkins. As Tyrod Taylor gets a little bit more comfortable, he actually had to sit out the third and fourth preseason week with a fairly bad concussion that he faced against Baltimore in a meaningless preseason game. But now he's finally getting his groove with Jordan Matthews, and you saw that there on the fourth quarter two-minute drill that he's able to find Jordan Matthews. And when Rick Dennison gives him the ability to just kind of free ball it and play backyard football, Tyrod Taylor is very hard to stop. And you see that a little bit more in the fourth quarter of games, whether we're up seven, down seven, or it's a close game. That's really when they start to let the reins loose on Tyrod, and you start to see him break, contain, get outside, find guys like Matthews on an improv play. And once Matthews gets a little bit more used to Tyrod's improv, you're going to see a little bit more production there. And he has the makings to be a very solid safety valve for him. And Charles Clay is another one, our tight end, who doesn't get enough credit here in Buffalo because he's a very good blocker, first and foremost. He allows for LeSean McCoy to break his runs on the outside, as well as he's always open. If Charles Clay faces any difficulties, he has a little bit of a problem with drops for a tight end. He really does drop the ball a little bit too much, but he is a very athletic and skilled tight end that Tyrod actually has developed some nice chemistry with and really worked the Jets over week one, and didn't see it as much last week as it was a run heavy game plan. But this week I expect to see a little bit more Charles Clay in this game plan. So he's really the safety valve. He's really the guy that, to me, Denver should be looking to make sure they remember about Charles Clay. Otherwise, it's one of his pivotal seven catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown game. So that's definitely, you know, a good note to kind of say. Zay Jones is another one who has a phenomenal route running ability, has great hands, and just could not connect with Tyrod Taylor down on the 2-yard line on the fourth quarter. Great play call. Really, really liked what the corners play that Rick Dennison drew up. Beat the Carolina coverage and just didn't connect on it. You know, there's very big discussions here whether it was Tyrod's fault or whether it was Zay Jones' fault. I mean, but, you know, so Zay Jones is coming of his own. So it's going to be interesting as the season progresses. You're going to see more Matthews, Zay Jones, and Charles Clay for Tyrod Taylor.
You know, obviously with a Rick Dennison offensive scheme, I was pretty used to watching that, you know, over the couple years, and I felt like the Denver Broncos didn't necessarily have the type of guys on the offensive line to make that kind of system work out of the Gary Kubiak zone blocking scheme. Now with Rick Dennison, watching that game last week against the Carolina Panthers, I saw a lot of what I saw from the Denver Broncos, you know, for the last 2 years. And obviously that involves a fullback with Patrick DeMarco. And obviously they have a veteran that they brought in with Mike Tolbert as well. But how useful is the fullback in Rick Dennison's offense for the Buffalo Bills in these last 2 weeks? And how might it be something that they might bring in or utilize? Obviously they might even utilize a double tight situation as well to help with the edge guys like Shaquille Barrett and Von Miller. What are your keys for the game for the Buffalo Bills to come out on top? And then I'll give you mine.
Absolutely. Yeah, you'll see a lot of that 12 personnel out of Buffalo for sure, definitely. And the fullback in the system doesn't really work like I want it to in the zone blocking scheme. I expected more so far. It's only been 2 weeks out of Patrick DeMarco, and I actually enjoyed the Anthony Lynn offense a little bit more. He was had a dynamic running game here for us last year and really groomed himself under Rex Ryan. So, you know, Rick Dennison's getting some used to getting taken. We got to get used to Rick Dennison. So keys to this game, learn how to block in this zone blocking scheme and really make space for LeSean McCoy. And it's tough to say, but we did see it week one against, actually, believe it or not, a fairly decent front seven out of the Jets. They don't have much else in New York, but they do have still a fairly decent front seven there, and we were their first 100-yard rusher, and it's been a couple of years since the Jets have allowed that. So they're going to need similar success here. They're going to need to spread the ball out a little bit more. They're going to need to try to test Denver secondary, even though it's strong. They're going to need to do some zone reads, fool them, try to take care of their aggressiveness with some quarterback runs, definitely, as you saw a little bit more of that from Tyrod last week. Another 50 or 60 yard game is going to be necessary from the quarterback position in order to win this football game. And on the defensive side of the ball, they're going to need to rush the pass, or they're going to need to get after Simeon. You saw 6 sacks last week from the Buffalo defense. Another key to our X factor right now is Jordan Poyer, a safety we acquired from the Cleveland Browns, guy that faced a really bad injury, and he's been PFF's number 2 ranked safety so far through 2 weeks of football. And it's been phenomenal. He's 2 sacks, interception, been everywhere around the ball. He's been between him and Micah Hyde, they've been 2 huge. I mean, so our safety play has been as good as it's been in Buffalo here for a while. And Trey White's been PFF's number 1 rookie cornerback right now. So you have some good secondary play, and the acquisition of EJ Gaines from St. Louis, well, now LA, has been great because he fits perfectly in this defense. So you have a really revamped secondary, and actually it's been better than the trades we made getting rid of Darby. I mean, this has been a great fit for the Bills to have Trey White and EJ Gaines, Ashish Wright and Leonard Johnson. So the Bills actually possess a really good defense, and they have a very good secondary that's been much, much, much improved. So it's going to take a little bit of, we're going to need to come at you guys defensively. We're going to need to keep the pass rush relentless, to keep those guys fresh, the defensive ends have some backups. So that's going to be the keys to the Bills. Can they get after Simeon? Can they slow down your passing game? Can they slow down your running game and C.J. Anderson, which the Bills, just like the Broncos, do come in possessing a top 3 or 4 run defense.
And so, absolutely, it's going to be a good matchup, I believe, all across the board. I think it's going to be equally challenging for both teams. Like you said, the Buffalo Bills, they got to take advantage of the Denver Broncos tackle play. And if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm going to find any way that I can to exploit Menelik Watson, who is the weakest link right now on the Denver Broncos offensive line. So my keys to the game for the Denver Broncos is obviously keep Trevor Siemian upright. If you allow constant pressure and he has to force and run, that's not necessarily a good thing. You know, we saw against the Los Angeles Chargers several times, Menelik Watson gave up a total of 3 sacks. He gave up 2 to Joey Bosa, 1 to Melvin Ingram, and a lot of it was he's not quick enough, and guys take the inside rush and he lets guys inside, and a lot of teams are starting to twist, obviously do endo blitzes with their end and their backer. So a lot of that is, I think Denver's got to do a good job of picking up a disguised blitz and recognizing they have to have better tackle play this week, especially if Garrett Bowles is out. And also defensively, you have to play contain. A guy like Tyrod Taylor, who's as mobile and dynamic on his feet as he is with his arm, he has the ability to hurt you in multiple different ways, especially with a weapon like LeSean McCoy and some versatile receiving threats, obviously like Zay Jones and Jordan Matthews as well, with Charles Clay, absolutely. Justin Simmons, Will Parks, they have to key, and Darian Stewart have to key, especially on the tight end this week. You know, we saw that the Dallas Cowboys looked at exploiting the safety play a little bit, and they led Jason Witten on an out and up that burnt that Justin Simmons bit on. And I think Denver Broncos are still getting used to not having their veteran TJ Ward out there as well. So when I look at it, these are the keys for the game that the Denver Broncos have to have in order to come out on top on the road against a very tough and young, gritty Buffalo Bills team. And I think special teams play is going to be a major factor. Brandon McManus hasn't really had a great start this year after getting a 4-year contract extension on opening day against the Los Angeles Chargers. He missed his field goal wide right against the Chargers that would have won the game. And he missed one last week on the last game against the Dallas Cowboys. So got to wonder, you got to get some concern consistency from the kicking game as well. And obviously got to hope that you can contain the two-headed monster that is Tyrod Taylor and LeSean McCoy. So before we get off air, do you have any closing thoughts or analysis you want to provide on this upcoming game?
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple of final notes. One, and I'll leave you with you as with a question as well. First thing, you know, people don't really think much about Buffalo in terms of like they don't know, you know, what to expect whenever you play the Bills. Playing in Buffalo is a very tough feat for anyone. The swirling winds that we have, it's you're right, with special teams, it's no easy feat to come into Buffalo and decide, even with good weather, that the stadium is known to kind of have this phantom breeze that we don't know where it comes from. So you're going to need a good game out of Riley Dixon. We've actually made some moves over the past 2 or 3 weeks to really give the special teams unit about 7 or 8 dedicated roster spots, which we're not used to here in Buffalo. So like you mentioned earlier in the show, Sean McDermott has shown a will to not give up. That fourth quarter drive, that final drive there against Carolina defense, who looked very, very stout. They didn't give up. They almost completed what they were out to do, and that's when the game 10-9 last week. So I would just be on your game with the special teams, or it'll get away from you. We also in the same boat with Steven Hauschka, gave him a lot of money from Seattle. He came in and you know, he's already struggling with some of the elements here in Buffalo early in week against the Jets, and then last week as well. You know, he barely made a field goal for our only points of the game. So we're waiting to see a little bit of step up there. And you know, we do have some dynamic return options who are, you know, generally teams aren't kicking to them, like Brandon Tate and Kalen Clay. So they're not getting the ball as well. So keep the balls out of their hands, as they can do a lot of, you know, and Tywan Jones too. So we have 3 returners who have led the league in return yardage at different points in their career. So watch out for that. And, you know, last question I had for you would be, what do Broncos fans, or, you know, even Broncos Nation, you there, what do you think of Tyrod Taylor as a quarterback? It's a very, very, very heated discussion here in Buffalo, and we just love outsiders' perspective on what Tyrod Taylor is and kind of what you look for when you're facing him. So that's what I'll leave you with. And lastly, if you're coming to the game, enjoy yourself. If you're anywhere near this, or you're coming in, or you're visiting for Broncos land, have fun. Bills have a crazy tailgate. Enjoy yourself. Interact. And, you know, it's actually an experience like I've never seen in across the league. And there are a few good tailgates, but enjoy yourself.
Man, you know, the Tyrod Taylor question's a huge one that when I look back on, I always scratch my head, because I was reading reports that the Buffalo Bills were looking into trading Tyrod Taylor. He had some injury discussion. I remember they benched him towards the end of last year for a game. And I scratched my head and I wonder, I was like, well, you know, why are they doing this? Because Tyrod Taylor, I think a lot of it last year, or any struggles that he has had, I didn't think it was, you know, fault specifically on him. I thought a lot of it, you know, had to do with Rex Ryan's system, and I didn't think Tyrod Taylor was really a good fit for what Rex Ryan wanted to run. And I think Anthony Lynn actually had a pretty good mind for an offense that I think Tyrod Taylor and the running game could thrive in, and I think Sean McDermott's going to do his best to utilize, you know, the talent that he has on the field and create a scheme that, you know, fits the overall players. But, you know, when there were trade rumors about Tyrod Taylor, I was telling John Elway, I was tweeting him, I said, hey, get on the phone, let's get Tyrod Taylor into town, because he's a guy that I think has a lot of good intangibles, and I think that with further development and coaching, and maybe even just, you know, not have to worry about getting sacked. And I think when you play in a conference that's tough, you know, Miami somehow, you know, anytime you play a divisional game, it's always a tough game. And like you said, the New York Jets front seven, they're absolutely talented in stopping the run. Their defense is pretty solid, but you guys do also play in a tough division. Many people want to say there's no competition there, but you know what, you look at the New England Patriots, you got to play them twice a year. They're loaded with some offensive talent, but they're also very vulnerable as well. And I think that any year could be the year where the NFC East could be up for grabs by either the Dolphins, the Bills. I don't think the Jets yet. I think we're a long ways away from
that. Yeah, not the Jets at this point.
But I would say it's very competitive. I'd say it's very competitive between those three teams, the Dolphins and the Bills and the Patriots. I think it's one of those divisions that, you know, you scratch your head on. I think it's up there, obviously, with the AFC West. I look at it almost similar, because you have the Denver Broncos, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Oakland Raiders, and any of the Los Angeles Chargers who just aren't there yet. So I think a lot of it's a very similar story. So, but I'm more thankful that the Denver Broncos have to travel up now and not December, and vice versa, because that's a tough place to play. And like I said, I think Buffalo has a great home field advantage. Their fans are loud. It reminds me of the Denver Broncos fans, because that stadium rocks and it gets loud, especially when, you know, the team's playing well and you got to get get your defense to get the off, you know, to get the opposing offense off the field. So I'm looking very forward to this matchup. I'm actually up, you know, I want to tweet during the game with you guys. We'll tweet and cover it as well. So where can people follow Locked On Bills and obviously yourself on Twitter?
Yeah, absolutely. So Locked On Bills, you can follow myself at Kevin Misery and at Cover_1_. That's Cover1 brings you on Locked On Bills podcast. So those are the two main places. At Cover1 over there, we have breakdowns of this game, really in-depth footage from Eric Turner, our Cover1 owner. So there's a lot of good stuff that you can follow if you're a Broncos fan out there and you want to know a little bit more about this Bills team or you don't get to see us often. Definitely follow along for the game as there's some great stuff, really some good unbiased opinions out there right now in Bills land. And I'm sure Bills fans will look forward to doing the same with some of your top guys as well.
Absolutely. Well, Kevin Misery, Locked On Bills, and this is your host, Cody Rourke, over at Locked On Broncos. We got a great matchup this weekend. Denver Broncos traveling to take on the Buffalo Bills this Sunday, 11:05, you know, kickoff Mountain Time. And obviously, you have the 1 o'clock kickoff Eastern Time over there in Buffalo at Stadium. It's going to be rocking. Obviously, like you said, if you're in the area, go to the tailgate, because when you go, if you want to YouTube right now what a Buffalo Bills tailgate looks like, go do it. It's absolutely the most entertaining thing, like Kevin said. Go have fun. Go engage. And obviously enjoy some good football, good weather as well. So, Kevin, thank you so much for joining me here today on this crossover show. I look forward to this weekend's game.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
There you have it. Kevin Misery over at Locked On Bills joined me here for a great crossover coverage edition of Locked On Broncos and Locked On Bills, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. Be sure to go to iTunes right now. Find Locked On Broncos or Locked On Bills if you're a Bills fan listening to the show. And go in there and leave a review and leave your Twitter handle for your chance to be selected by Pro Football Focus for a free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription valued at $39.99 with the most advanced analytics, player grading, statistics, whatever kind of coverage analysis you can potentially get out of any analytical element of the National Football League. Pro Football Focus has you covered every week, every day, every matchup over there at Pro Football Focus. Also, be sure to follow the show Locked On Broncos on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL and at Locked On Broncos. Also, if you didn't notice, we're now crossed over to writing. You can catch daily Denver Broncos content over at LockedOnBroncos.com, brought to you by FanRag Sports. This is your host, Cody Rourke. Tonight's episode of Locked On Broncos was brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Head on over there now. Play now, win big, and get your payment quick. This is Cody Rourke saying good night and go Broncos.